All right. Well, it's always a blessing to be here once again, and thankful that you guys have had us come up here. So the message that I want to preach on today, this evening, is on words. You know, words, it appears throughout the Bible quite often. Jesus is compared to being the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is also the Bible being referred to as the Word. And so it says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so, you know, words, they really can be a revealer of what's going on in somebody's heart. There's the word of God, and there's the words of the righteous. And so the word of God, it is here in John chapter, we'll flip to John chapter, where is this here? John chapter 15. Chapter 15, this and verse 2. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. All right, we're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we pray, God, that you'd bless the service here this evening. God, thank you that you, Lord, meet with us. God, you meet with us in church. You meet with us, Lord, in the privacy of our own home. God, you meet with us at the workplace. And Lord, you speak these gracious words to us, Lord, these words of encouragement, words that prod us to go further, Lord. Lord, the words of the wise are as goads, Lord. And God, you are wise. Thank you for, Lord, goading us sometimes, pushing us to go forward. And I pray that, Lord, if there's somebody here, Lord, that just needs a bit of a push, God, to go forward for you, I pray, Lord, that you do so and just meet them where they're at, Lord, in the tender way that only you can. And we'll thank you for it. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We can be cleansed by the word of God. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, the word of God, it cleanses. The word of God, it feeds. You know, you ask me, my wife, she is a good cook. She's an amazing cook. It's a surprise that I'm not, you know, 100 pounds heavier than I am. She's a very good cook. She learned from her mother. Her mother's a very good cook. And, you know, you asked me what I ate last week, and I can't tell you what I ate last week. I can't tell you what I ate on the Sunday after the service. It's always good. But I'll tell you what, it fed me. It fed me.
Amen.
And so, you know what? The Word of God, I can ask you, brother, what did you get from the preaching of God's Word last Sunday? You ask me that, and I'll say, I got that God was good. You know, I'm very forgetful. And sometimes I'm not exactly sure what was preached. I just know it fed me. It'll feed you. You know, one of the things I ask somebody when they say, I'm having a hard time. I'm really struggling in life and things aren't going the way that it ought to. And, you know, there's trials, granted, that's fine. You know, but there's people and they're suffering needlessly. There's things going on in their life. And the first thing I always ask them, you know, when they're going sort of backwards on going to church and on things that are just sort of elementary to the Christian walk, I say, hey, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been praying? And probably 9 times out of 10, well, you know, I've picked it up and I've read it here and there. And, you know, that's the first mistake. You know, that's the start. You need to start with reading your Bible on a daily basis. You know what it says? It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we're going to survive. When you don't feed on the Word of God, you're going to get weak, and you're going to be susceptible to the wiles of the devil, and you're going to quit. And so the Word of God, we are cleansed by the Word of God, but we are also fed by the Word of God. The Word of God is also eternal. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 24 it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Again, "but the word of the Lord endureth forever." It endures forever. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." A preacher once said that the only eternal thing on this earth is the Word of God. You know, everything you see here, the beautiful paint job and just the different work that's been done in this place, it's going to pass away. It says that the earth will melt, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything is going to be burned up. But the only thing that's going to last forever is the Word of God. "And by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And God will judge us by his words. And so we need to take heed to his words because it is eternal. It is eternal. Interesting thing here, it says in, you don't have to flip there, Psalm 138, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." He's magnified his word above his own name. And so if he's magnified his word above his own name, that must mean that there's some sort of power to his word. And in the book of Hebrews, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's powerful. It is so powerful that, you know, just read to individuals. There's you go to a lost man and you start reading the Word of God and they're going to get uncomfortable. They see you. I had the Bible on my rooftop one time of my car, and I'm driving out of Portage La Prairie, out of my house there, and we're pulling out, and as I drive away, it falls off the roof of the car. And this guy, one of the neighbors across the street, he sees the Bible's about to fall off, or if it does fall off. I don't remember if it did fall off or it was about to. No, it didn't. It was about to. But he gets out of his house and he says, "Hello, sir, neighbor, sir, your Bible is on your car." And it makes people uncomfortable. The Word of God, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, I had a friend from Calgary. I worked for him. I did scrap metal. I worked for scrap metal when I came up here and had the whole schmozzle there. I told a few folks here about what had happened. But he had sent me up here. I worked for this guy from Calgary, and his name was Eric Bighouse, Eric Grand Mason. And he started to adopt the belief of Buddhism and other types of religions that were sort of the popular thing to do at that time. And he talked to his uncle. His uncle was a believer. And he said, "Uncle, whatever, Bob, you know, I think Hinduism It's pretty cool. It's got some good beliefs to it. You know, I think Buddhism, you know, I'm hip on that too. I think I can believe on that sort of stuff." And he said, Uncle Bob said, "Eric," he says, "you know what we've been raised on. You know what the Bible says." He says, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he said, when he heard those words, it says he couldn't get him out of his mind. He couldn't get him out of his heart. And he'd try to go to sleep at night, and he'd be thinking about those words just ringing in his head as he's trying to think on Buddhism and Hinduism and think that there's truth to this type of stuff. But Jesus said, it's very exclusive, this way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so just quoted to the individual, there's a power that takes place. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The words of the wise. It says the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. It says the, how does that verse go? Psalm 12:18. There is that speaketh as the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. But the tongue of the wise is health. You know, the words of the wicked, they're hurtful words. They're to pierce you. You know, and I remember this one girl, believe it or not, you know, there are Christians out there, and when they say things, when you're thinking, did they mean that? Did they say what I think that they just said? They couldn't have meant that, because again, they're Christian. And I told my wife that. She said to me one time, she said, you know, did you hear what they said? That was quite interesting. Well, and she's not critical. She's very, she gives people the benefit of the doubt. But this was when we were newly married, and I was very naive. I was, again, in Thompson, Manitoba. Didn't have a whole lot of exposure to Christendom. And so I got married. We went down to Portage-la-Prairie. And there we were, and somebody had said something, sort of a double-tongue type talk. And again, she said, can you believe? And I said, no. You know, but there is that speaketh as the piercings of a sword. The piercings of a sword, eh? And when they speak, they're just jabbing you, you know? And this one, she said to the other person that they had something that she didn't have. All right? You know, whenever I come to your house, you know, I could... This is aside from the story I just talked about with my wife and the whole the naive thing. But she said, when I come to your house, you know, I could always smell that septic tank. It always just stinks, you know? And you know, I couldn't live out here because there's so much water. My kids would get filthy and there'd just be too much mess to clean up. And I just, yeah, you know, you can have your acreage, your home, but not for me, you know? And they say this thing just to try to stick you, you know? There is that speaketh as the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise, it's health. You know what should have been said? Oh, man. You know, like maybe the water did bother her. Yeah, maybe it does sometimes stink with the septic tank. I don't know. But you could have said, you know what? Look at all this land that you have now. And you know what? Oh, you got a few chickens? Oh, what a blessing. I'm so happy for you. I'm glad that you had gotten what you wanted. She didn't have to say, I don't want what you have. But I'm glad that you prayed for this specific thing and you desired this thing and God granted the desires of your heart and I'm happy for you.
Amen.
This one lady, bless her heart. You know, as the north wind driveth away rain, even so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. And she's Greek. I guess the Greeks are very, what did you mean by that? You know, and so, you know, this girl that I just talked about, you know, dissing the tank and the water and the acreage, she goes up to this Greek lady. Did you, you know, I heard that girl, you know, and she just insinuates. They'll insinuate, you know? And this Greek lady. So what is exactly that you did hear, and what do you think that you heard? So you heard this, but what do you think you heard? Tell me exactly. She chases that rabbit to the hole, you know? And I think that if we just got to people and said, so what are you trying to say? Like, why don't you just go ahead and tell me right now exactly what you're trying to say? That north wind, eh? That angry countenance? Really? Are you saying this to me right now? And there's obviously a sweetness, right? Like, I mean, we have to be sweet with one another. We're Christian. There's a way to deal with individuals. I think that if we were to try to exact all iniquities, who could stand, right? Amen. But in one sense, we got to be sweet, but in another sense, if we just kind of chase a rabbit to the hole, I think a lot of splits, a lot of relationships, they could be saved, you know? The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. They don't just stop at the sticking, eh? They don't just stop at the hurting. But they're lying in wait. They're waiting for you, eh?
There's... Alright, here he comes! Let's make him bleed this time. They're lying in wait for blood.
You know, the Jews, they laid in wait to catch him in his words. Those Pharisees. And they couldn't just try to dishonor him, which they did. You know, you're born of fornication. They couldn't just stop there. But it's they had to crucify him, didn't they? Laying in wait for blood. And I'm telling you, when you got one thing more that's going on for you than somebody who's contentious, you watch out. Because wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who can stand before envy? It's like, who? When somebody envies you, you're marked. You are marked, and they're looking for you, and they're looking for ways to destroy you, and they're laying in wait. You know why they delivered up Jesus Christ? They brought him to Pilate for envy. They brought him up for envy. We're going to lose our position. He's got all this authority. You know, he's got this following, and we're losing our authority now. We're losing our following, and people aren't greeting us in the marketplaces anymore. And look, oh, sister so-and-so, you know, the same person who said, the septic tank stinks. You know, the water's going on. You know what we heard through the grapevine with this situation that was going on? She's talking to other people. Yeah, me and the hubby are looking at acreages and... I'm not saying... Whatever works for you is going to work for you. You know, I'm talking about... There's been... Anyway. You don't tear other people down.
Amen.
You know, we're here to build each other up.
Yes.
The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Shall deliver them. You know, you can lose your sweet words. It says in Job chapter 41. I'm going to flip there, Job chapter 41. Very interesting chapter here in this. Verse 1, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord? Verse 1, sorry. Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? I remember, man, just going through this thing, going through a certain trial in my life, and I thought, I wasn't talking to him. It was kind of just talking to the air, but I'm like, that devil? Does he have to be so cruel? Like, does he really have to go this far and make it this hard for me? Honestly. And I think some things are self-inflicted. And then immediately, what am I doing? Misery loves company. This rascal wants me in hell. He's not gonna speak soft words unto me. That's the words of the wicked. They won't speak soft words unto you. They're there to try to barb you. They're there to try to lay in wait to make you bleed. My dad, man, I miss him. I miss him. He was a good businessman. You know, I worked with this journeyman. And I was his apprentice. And it was just known if you worked with that guy, you were going to have a hard time. you were going to have a hard time. And I was this newly saved, coddled believer that, you know, if you pinch my ear, I might cry a little bit. And, you know, so I had to grow up, I'll be honest. But he, even for the strongest of guys, made it hard. And you'd mess up one little thing and he'd say, get out of here, you. And then, you know, insert words. And he made you feel this small in a second. And I remember as I was driving down, and just beyond tradesman vulgar, it was hard with that guy. No soft words with him. I even talked to him and he just scoffed me, you know, and it's whatever. They're lost. It's fine. You know, amen. We hope for their salvation. But I'm driving down the road with him and he said, did you say your last name is Lounsbury? I said, yeah, my last name is Lounsbury. Are you related to Dave Lounsbury? I said, that's my daddy. Yeah, that's my dad. No kidding. He says, there was one time I was at the airport and I was there at the reception. It was called Skyward at the time. I think they're now called Perimeter. And he's up at the front there and he says, it was so quiet you can hear a pin drop. You know, you can hear a pin drop. It was just so quiet. Natives, when we're out in public, when we're at home amongst ourselves, we're pretty crazy. We can be pretty loud, you know. But when they're out in public amongst other people groups, they can be quite quiet, you know, quite timid at times. And so there was a bunch of natives, even from the same reserve, a few different ones, there at the airport, and they were just all sitting there very quiet and, you know, nothing's going on. And then this journeyman, he says, this short, pudgy white man walks in, my dad, and he starts telling jokes to the natives, and he starts shaking their hands, and, you know, how's it going there, Clifford? Yeah, hey, Bobby? And they're all laughing with my dad. They're having a good time. You know, my dad, he spoke soft words. He knew when I was going through my hard times, man, he would talk to me. He would encourage me. And he'd say, son, you're going to get through this. You're going to make it. And he just knew how to make somebody laugh. He made my wife laugh. You know, he made everybody laugh. He was just a good man, you know. And but the words of the wicked, not so. There were people that they stick them. And he would just deflect. You know, he'd just deflect and just, oh, brother so-and-so, you know. And he'd just laugh it off. Not a big deal. I really miss him. You know, we're gonna move on here. The words of the backslider. The words of the backslider. You can lose your sweet words. It says in Proverbs chapter 23. Brother, how long do we go? Better yet, is everybody hungry or no? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Verse 6. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Verse 8. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. You can lose your sweet words. You can lose those sweet words. You know, Saul, he lost his sweet words, King Saul. You know, Samuel said, you know why you were chosen by God? Because you were small in your sight. He was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. Just picture that. Head and shoulders above everybody. But Samuel said, you know why God chose you, Saul? Because you saw yourself small in your own sight. First Samuel chapter 9. chapter 9, verse 20. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Israel? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? You know, Saul, he was small in his own sight. I'm the least of all the tribes of Benjamin. You know, and later on, when King David wasn't the king at the time, it was sort of in that buffer period of the waiting, but he doesn't show up to the table of the king, and there's Jonathan, and Saul says, Jonathan, where's David? He asked leave of me, and I said, yeah, you go ahead. And that wasn't until about day two or three. And you know what he says to him? He says here, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. Can you just see the anger in that? You just see the rashness in that? You see the barbs? He's lying in wait for blood. I'm going to kill David. It's the last thing I do. Backslider's words, they lack courage. They lack courage. We're almost done here with they lack courage. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 33, it says here, And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Oh, this giant showed up to the camp of Israel day and day, and he said, I defy the armies of Israel. And there's Saul, it says, he greatly feared. He was scared. You can't go against this Philistine. He says, he's a man of war from his youth, and you're but a youth. And you know what David said? David, in verse 24, And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Sorry, that's the wrong verse there. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go. He said, God delivered the bear into my hand. He delivered the lion into my hand. And who is this Philistine? God will do the same thing. And so the words of the backslider, they lack courage. But the words of those that are right with their God, they're courageous. It says, and the people that do know their God shall wax strong, shall be strong, and do exploits. They shall do exploits. You know what it was talking about? It was talking futuristic. It says, and the people that do know their God, and this is prophecy. It said, do you know God today? You want to do some exploits? It just starts with obeying the Word of God. It just starts by reading it on a daily basis. It just starts by saying, God, I found some hard verse in your Bible. Hey, in John chapter 6, verse 66, it says that his disciples, many disciples after that followed him no longer because of the hard sayings that he said. He says, unless he eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he shall have no part of me. I don't understand this. I guess I'm just going to walk away. And you're going to come across things that you don't understand. You're going to come across a hard word, some hard words in the Bible. But you've got to stick with it. You've got to stick with it. Thy word, it's a lamp under my feet. That lamp, you know, it's just a little light in front of you. Just a little light. It's rarely that he shows you this long futuristic prophecy. Yeah. Most of the time, it's just a little lamp. And you're just walking around. And you know what he did for those Israelis? You know, he said he made them walk south, further south away from the Philistines. Because he knew that they would be scared that the Philistines wanted to kill them. So he brought them this way. You're going to go this way. You're going to avoid the Philistines. We're going to go this way. You just got to obey the next thing, the next word. that God has given to you. Amen. He'll give you more. Amen. He'll give you more. A light under my path. The righteous are as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. How do you shine brighter? You've got to listen to his words.
Amen.
They marveled. It says that the people marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They marveled at it. You know, I read the Bible sometimes and I'm just like, wow, you're amazing, God. You're amazing. Thank you for that word that I needed so badly today. I needed that word. And lastly, and we're done. Don't take everything everybody says to heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 21. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. That's something. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go listen and just see what Eliezer is saying about me. Okay, he's going to get a raise. That's good. Okay, Eliezer. Yeah, that's a cut right there. In fact, you're fired. You know, like, have we not said things that we regretted? Don't raise your hand, but yes, I have. I've said things that I've regretted. And you know, again, the Pharisees, that they said they wanted to catch him in his words. That's what people are doing. They're just waiting to catch you in your words. Yeah, okay, that's why I'm leaving Christendom. That's why I'm leaving the Baptist circles. Because they offended me with their words. Why don't you just hang around the guy for a while? Sometimes we say stupid things. You know, sometimes there's peer pressure and people will say things rashly. You know, Jephthah, he spoke rashly with his mouth. The first thing that meets me at my door, Lord, if you grant me victory against these people, I will sacrifice. Well, his daughter meets him. You know?
Yeah.
So just don't take everything to heart that you hear from people. Because you know, sometimes you've cursed somebody at times. You know, but hey, we pray. You know what we pray? We say, God, keep the door of my mouth. Just help me to be careful. I don't want to hurt people. But God, I want to be able to bless people with my mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we are finished this evening. So let's go ahead and pray. Bow your heads with prayer and talk to the Lord. Lord, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Word of God, that your Word is eternal. Lord, that it is so exalted, Lord, that it's even above thy name, Lord. I don't understand that, but God, I believe it because your Word says it. And God, I thank you that your Word it's quick and powerful, Lord, that even just speaking it, Lord, God, as Charles Spurgeon said, he just treats it as he would a lion. He just releases it. God, he just preaches it and watches it do its work. It defends itself. And so, Lord, God, I pray, Father, that we would take heed unto your word, Lord, and that we would obey. We love you, and we just thank you for meeting with us this evening. And, Lord, we just pray that you just would take everybody home safely. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joey. And so just in closing, take your hymn books and turn to number 421, just keeping with the theme. And again, you know, we encourage you, if God has spoken to your heart tonight, you know, I'll say, like, I can really identify as a person with a quick wit and a sharp tongue, how quickly the flesh can get involved. And yet, God can change our heart and give us gracious words. And so we can remain seated if you'd like. Turn to 421, wonderful words of life in closing. And again, if God is speaking to your heart, we want you to submit yourself to that, to allow him to do the work that he wants to do in you so that he can do the work that he wants to do through you. He desires to rule and reign in your heart and to live through you. And that'll only happen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Let's sing Wonderful Words of Light.